Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in with the Minneapolis VA, meet a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon city, and visit with the senior enlisted advisor of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Our differences and our diversity are what makes your Minnesota National Guard team strong. Regardless of our differences in gender, sexual orientation, or identity, race, or religion, we are united in our service. What matters in the Minnesota National Guard is the content of your character, your love of country, and your devotion to serve the people in our state and our nation. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are more than 13,000 brave, hardworking, and dedicated women and men who come from many different walks of life. Soldiers and airmen of every creed, color, and background serve together with distinction and honor. Despite our differences, we wear the same uniform, serve in the same state, and salute the same flag. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are pilots and military police, mechanics and cooks, logistics specialists, and cyber experts. These brave soldiers and airmen foster a culture of acceptance, dignity, and respect. Together, we are a team, standing shoulder to shoulder and protecting our great state and the United States of America, be it here at home, overseas, or wherever the call might take us. Our differences and our diversity are what makes your Minnesota National Guard team strong.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to visit with a doctor from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system because this month is Limb Loss Awareness Month. And joining us now is Dr. Molly Matsumoto, who is the medical director at the Minneapolis VA Regional Amputation Center. She is a physical medicine and rehabilitation physician specializing in amputation, rehabilitation, and tele-rehabilitation. Dr. Matsumoto, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much.
Doctor, I'd like to dig in a little bit about your education. Where did you go to train for? This is quite a field. We're going to have a pretty good discussion today, something that unfortunately is necessary for some of our veterans in our military. But where did you start out in with your medical degree?
Thanks, Tom. Yes, I did medical school at the University of Hawaii in Honolulu, and then I trained in physical medicine and rehabilitation at the University of Pittsburgh. After this, I did an additional year of training specifically in amputation rehab at the VA in Seattle. This was one of the advanced fellowships offered by the VA Office of Academic Affiliations to train doctors in specialties that are particularly important for veteran care. Many of these fellows go on to work at the VA, and I count myself in this number.
Go ahead, Doctor. I was going to say that's quite a trip. You started out in Hawaii, and then you went to Pennsylvania, and all of this training in a difficult field. How did you get to Minneapolis? How did you get to Minnesota?
Well, I really enjoyed my experience during fellowship, caring for veterans with limb loss, building relationships with them, working in a dynamic rehab team, and within a larger national system focused on delivering high-quality care. Not to mention, the rehab and prosthetic services at the VA are second to none.
And Doctor, throughout that whole process and all those years that you were going to school, what drew you to this area, to this important field?
Well, in physical medicine and rehabilitation, you know, we focus on rehabilitation in many different areas. One of them is after amputation. And I really enjoyed taking care of this population of patients and being able to help them rehab through this journey after amputation, you know, during prosthetic training, regaining function, and helping them meet their goals.
So, Doctor, just the thought of losing a limb is something that's pretty scary to most of us. And for our military that might have lost a limb in combat or in service to the military, I would think that the most important thing is how do we fix them up? How do we prepare them for the rest of their life without that limb? And that's pretty important stuff to every one of those veterans. That's about as important as it can get.
Absolutely.
So there must be a lot of education, a lot of practice, a lot of things that you've learned in your career to help that veteran say, how am I ever going to go on without a foot? How am I ever going to go on without a leg? How do you steel yourself so that you can help them and deal with that process? Because it's pretty traumatic.
Yeah, I think it is a as you said, traumatic and a big change in terms of your life to have an amputation. And I work with a great team at the VA who has a lot of experience with amputation care, prosthetic care, rehabilitation to help support the veteran through this journey and provide them with the education that they need to kind of understand what's coming next. We also have a peer visitor program, which is where veterans that have undergone an amputation volunteer and do a training through the Amputee Coalition so that they can meet with veterans who are facing an amputation or have recently undergone an amputation to provide them with peer support. Because I have a lot of experience from the point of view of a doctor, and our team has experience from the point of view, of medical providers. But we don't have that experience of what it's like personally to go through it. So the peer visitor program has been great to help a great resource to provide additional support.
Doctor, what a resource. I would think that if I was going through that and another veteran could come in and say, I went through that 5 years ago and this is going to all work, it's going to be fine. It's going to make me feel a lot better and then start paying attention to you. We're speaking to Dr. Molly Matsumoto from the Minneapolis VA and Minnesota Military Radio. Dr. Limb Loss Awareness Month, what are we trying to do with that? What are we trying to convey to the public about these type of issues?
Yeah, so Limb Loss Awareness Month was established in April 2012 by the Amputee Coalition. And it's important because over 2 million Americans live with limb loss, and this number is expected to double by 2050. This increase is largely driven by increasing numbers of amputation related to diabetes and vascular disease. Those are now the number one cause of lower extremity amputations and cause over half of all amputations. So the goal for this month is to recognize and celebrate the resilience of those living with limb loss and also to raise awareness for limb loss prevention. About 28 million Americans are at risk of limb loss due to diabetes, sensory neuropathy, or poor sensation in the foot are non-healing wounds, including about 2 million veterans. So we want to make sure that we're providing preventative care to these veterans, including yearly foot checks and protective footwear for veterans with poor sensation or poor circulation to prevent wounds that can lead to amputations. 85% of lower extremity amputations are preceded by a wound on the foot.
So, Doctor, I think we've come a long way from 100 or 200 years ago with peg legs that you saw in the movies and these type of things. I've heard that in World War II, in Korea and Vietnam, prosthetics and the way they're made and how we use them has improved tremendously, and I'm sure that's continuing. There really is no comparison, even in the last 10, 15 years, I would guess.
Yeah, there's always a lot of advances in the field of prosthetics, new componentry in terms of knees and feet, new socket designs, and there's some new procedures that are available. For instance, we can do Botox injections for sweating of the residual limb, which can be a big problem, especially in the summer. There's a new surgical procedure called targeted muscle reinnervation that can help with upper extremity prosthetic control and nerve pain in the residual limb or phantom limb, the missing part of the limb. So this is why we always are trying to do yearly checkups with our veteran, to make sure that if there's something new that can benefit them, we're able to get them connected with that and stay up to date with their rehab and prosthetic needs.
So you're always improving to make it easier for them to wear and use the prosthetics, learning more and more about their body and how to make it the body get used to the prosthetics and be able to use them properly and then deal with simple things like excessive sweating and how do we deal with that so it's comfortable so that they can find some kind of new normal.
Absolutely. And we know that these things change over the course of their life too, so we want to be staying on top of it to prevent any complications such as skin problems, wounds.
So those veterans that have to use or wear prosthetics, it's just as important for them to come in once a year and say, how are you doing? How does it feel? Does it still fit? Is it working well? And then you can fine tune it.
Absolutely, because we want to catch any issues early.
Very good. Doctor, we have to take a short break in a moment. We'll come back in a moment and talk more about Limb Loss Awareness Month with Dr. Molly Matsumoto in a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Dr. Molly Matsumoto from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System about Limb Loss Awareness Month. And throughout history, the Veterans Administration has placed a high priority on care that is provided to veterans with limb amputations. Amputations have medical, physical, social, and psychological ramifications for the veteran and the veteran's family. And Dr. Sue Matsumoto is the medical director of the Minneapolis VA Regional Amputation Center. And, doctor, that's a lot to think about when we think that amputations have a lot of ramifications, medical, physical, social, and psychological. There are a lot of things to get through there and get comfortable with before you can get back to some kind of normal.
Yes, that's definitely true. And our goal in our Regional Amputation Center is to help veterans on all of those fronts. And because, like you said, it's a wide spectrum, we have a large team to help us do that. So our team includes, you know, two physicians, eight prosthetists who make prosthetic limbs, a physical therapist, occupational therapist, social worker, rehab psychologist, recreation therapist, social worker. So we can support veterans in all of those ways.
So you've got a whole team of people to help them through the process. I would guess that this is like a lot of other things. First, if you told me I was going to lose a foot because of my diabetes, I'd be in denial. And then after you convinced me that this has to happen, then I'd get some kind of acceptance. And then I'd say, okay, how are we going to live with this? Where do we go with it? How long is it going to take me to get back so I can go fishing again? So you've got to help the veteran through all of these stages and all of these steps, and it sounds like you've got a good team to help with every bit of that.
Yeah, I definitely one of the strengths of our program is definitely our interdisciplinary team.
So that every stage there you can bring in the appropriate people to help the veteran sort it out and
yes.
Give them some confidence that they can do this. And, of course, I love the program you talked about in the first segment where you bring in other veterans who've had this experience, and they'll say, come on. You can deal with this. Let's go. We'll show you how to do it. That's got to be very helpful for any veteran that's going through this.
Yeah, we get great feedback about our peer visitor program from veterans of how much they appreciate that support from other veterans.
Now, doctor, I'm guessing from the information I read that you've got kind of two types of veterans. You get some young veterans that might have been injured in the line of duty or injured in combat and lost a limb of some kind. And then you've got us older veterans, I'm a Vietnam veteran. A lot of my guys are suffering from the presumptive diseases from Agent Orange and maybe don't have as good a circulation, maybe have diabetes, maybe have a lot of things. And as that progresses, we may come to a point where we're going to lose a limb. But for my group, of course, we're all getting older, and that's different. Is it more urgent for the younger people that were injured and lost a limb and now we got to say, okay, you can still have a good long life. Here's what we have to do. And then a different process for the older veterans that are suffering from diseases?
I think as you're you know, alluding to, there's definitely two populations of traumatic amputees and then people who had an amputation related to diabetes or vascular disease. A lot of the services they need are the same in terms of, you know, working with the prosthetist to make a prosthesis or physical therapist, these psychological support. But definitely the goals can be different, you know, depending on the age, health, number of other factors. And I think one strength of our team is that we're able to meet the needs of veterans across all of those different goals and levels of function. So as you say, we have some patients where our focus is, you know, is really maybe on using a wheelchair to get around, making their home wheelchair accessible for them so they can stay at home as they age and they have more medical issues and preventing complications like wounds on their other foot. And, you know, for our younger veterans, we may be looking more at activity limbs so they can get back to sports like running or scuba diving.
So enable them to get on with their lives and do the things they want to do.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a huge spectrum in terms of function and goals and different ways to meet their goals. You know, prosthesis is one tool that we use. You know, wheelchairs are other tools. And And so I think that's one of the strengths of our team is kind of eliciting those goals and figuring it out how to meet them.
We're speaking with Dr. Molly Matsumoto from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, I've read here that it says up to 24% of veterans that go to the VA for help are suffering from diseases as opposed to a traumatic injury of some kind, and things such as cardiovascular disease, hypertension, end-stage renal disease, those type of things. Are there some, let's say we've got all these veterans enrolled at the Minneapolis VA, and there's a lot of them. There's a large number of them probably suffering from some of these diseases that could lead to amputation. Are there a lot of things, is there a big opportunity to coach them up and show them what they can do to stave that off, to prevent it from happening, to slow it down?
Yeah. You know, a huge focus for us is the prevention of amputation, and the VA does have a program called PAVE, which stands for Prevention of Amputation in Veterans Everywhere, that's been around since 1993 when it was identified that, you know, amputations were increasing because of diabetes and vascular disease. And the focus of the PAVE program is to prevent amputation, to identify veterans that are at high risk because of the loss of, you know, sensation in their foot or poor circulation in their foot, and to prevent amputation, you know, like I said, doing the yearly foot checks, getting the protective footwear. If a wound develops, doing an evaluation to make sure there's no blood flow issues or infection that's preventing it from healing. You know, if there's a wound on the bottom of the foot, making sure we have the right footwear to offload that. So preventing amputation, you know, is an incredibly important goal. And then in the population of people that have had an amputation, they're at very high risk for another amputation. So about 50% of people who have had an major lower extremity amputation, so above the ankle, will have an amputation on the other side within 5 years.
So, Doctor, I'm hearing that there is an opportunity to engage in some activities that are preventative in nature. And, for instance, I have diabetes and I have some nerve damage and neuropathy, but yet I walk and I move around and I exercise and I take my pills and I take my insulin. And what I'm getting from my primary care doctor is the longer and the more we can move, the longer we can eat right and exercise, the more impact you can have from a preventative nature and keep me out of your department so that I don't lose any limbs. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. All of those things are really important. You know, when we talk about, you know, amputations related to diabetes, having the diabetes under good control, you know, is important to prevent wounds. And then if a wound develops, to help it heal faster.
So things just as simple as making sure you check your blood sugar every day and try to keep it normal for the most part, and then move around, exercise, do things, and try to control your weight. All of that's going to have a positive impact on the control of the diabetes, which would slow down the progression of that disease.
Yes.
Good. I want to make sure of this because I don't want to be in your department and I don't want to be losing anything.
You don't want to come see me.
Well, I've enjoying talking to you today, but I'm really happy to hear that. If it comes down to, if we pay attention to our primary care doctor, try to do things they're telling us to do in terms of control your blood sugar, eat right, take your insulin, take your metformin, whatever you're taking, you can slow this all down and maybe never end up losing the limb.
Yeah, prevention definitely starts there with the primary care doctor and the things that they're recommending. I think another tool that we now have is something called the podometric mat, which is a mat that gets sent to the veteran at their home. They can stand on it for 15 minutes every day, and it detects temperature changes that could be the early sign of a wound. So that's something that we're trying to get to veterans who have that loss of sensation or poor circulation or history of, you know, amputation of a toe or part of the foot that are at high risk for wounds and further amputations.
So if you have that nerve damage and you've got numbness in your feet and you can't feel very well and you maybe think you're okay, if you use this, they might find some hot spots in some areas that they can do some more preventative work on.
Yeah, we definitely want to be able to catch wounds early and prevent them from, you know, becoming, you know, getting worse or getting infected or things that could lead to amputations.
Doctor, you've got some positive news for us today, and I'd like to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Tom.
That was Dr. Molly Matsumoto from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about a yellow ribbon city in Minnesota that's doing some wonderful things. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about another Beyond the Yellow Ribbon City. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Happy birthday to the GI Bill. On June 22, 1944, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, known informally as the GI Bill. This landmark legislation transformed the lives of millions of veterans who helped shape the future of our nation. The men and women who came home from World War II, commonly referred to as GIs, went on to colleges and universities, built businesses, and became known as the Greatest Generation. Upon signing the bill, President Roosevelt said, quote, "With the signing of this bill, a royal rounded program of special veterans benefits is nearly complete. It gives emphatic notice to the men and women of our armed forces that the American people do not intend to let them down," end quote. Today, there are several GI bills to choose from. Knowing which one you qualify for and how to apply can help you make sure you get the benefits that you need to reach your educational goals. Visit MinnesotaVeterans.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're going to visit now with the two representatives of the Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. And joining us today is Jada Osterdijk and Wendy Lindahl. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate you letting us be here.
Jada, I'm going to start with you. I understand that you work at a radio station up that way.
I do.
That's why you look so comfortable.
I only go on when they're absolutely desperate.
And what's the radio station?
We actually have three. We have Cool Country. We have KBEK, which is Nice 95. And we have Anthem Country.
And do they let you on the air once in a while?
Only once in a great while.
When they need somebody to do some promos or?
When they're super desperate, they will let me on. And that's about it. Otherwise, I just answer the phones and take care of the back end of some stuff.
All right. We're going to get back to that in a minute. And Wendy, what do you do besides helping with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon?
I am a community worker. I go into homes for people that need assistance getting around and just kind of helping them live a life normal as possible.
And I understand you've got some relatives that served in the military.
I do. My uncle was a Vietnam vet. My husband's grandfather was in the Korean War. And my brother-in-law is a Marine and my nephew is a Marine.
So you're kind of surrounded by service members or veterans. And
yes.
Did that lead you to be interested in getting involved with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program in Pine City?
Mostly. My husband and I have always been very patriotic and try and give back to what they've given us. So anything we can do to help is what we're going to do.
And before you joined Jada at the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, did you know her before that?
Yes.
For a long time?
Probably off and on we weren't like super close friends, but we did know each other and talked when we seen each other. But the Yellow Ribbon has really brought our relationship to another level of, well, we're not friends. We're pretty much sisters from another mister.
Jada, I knew from the moment I met you two that you were partners in crime.
This
goes back a long way, doesn't it?
It goes back a few years.
All right. No, we don't have to tell any bad stories. This is a family show. What got you interested in getting involved in the Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network?
My previous employer and I wanted to give back to our community somehow, so we went to the Chamber of Commerce there in Pine City, and they suggested we do this thing called the Giving Tree. And we're like, okay.
What the heck is that?
What is that? And so they described what it was. We're like, all right, we'll take that on. And so in the process of that, we discovered that the yellow ribbon was kind of down, and we just decided it would be a good idea to pull it back up and get it re-energized, and that's how I joined.
So I can't let this giving tree pass. That was an attempt to provide Christmas gifts for military families.
Yes. So what that was anybody who is based out of the Pine City Armory, if they have a child, they can fill out a paper. And between us and then our community and the businesses in our community, then we will provide Christmas presents for them.
We're speaking to Jada Osterdijk and Wendy Lindahl about the Pine River or Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network on Minnesota Military Radio. So what did you have to do to get that Yellow Ribbon organization back up and re-energized? Who wants to take that? Wendy, it's your turn to talk.
Well, she was in it the first time. I got pulled in on the second year that they were doing the bike run. So she's been it since beginning. I've just been part of it the last 4 years.
Jada, you're the instigator, right? And then you just drag her along with you, it sounds like.
Kind of. We are partners in crime with that. But so to get it re-energized, there was some paperwork that we had to do to, you know, get the 501c3 back up and going. That kind of a deal. We had to have the big meeting so that we could get a board in place. Because if you don't have the board, then you don't really have an organization. And then since then, we've just been having our meetings every month, doing the best we can to raise the funds to help all of our local veterans and active military. And that's kind of where we're at.
Now, Wendy, I understand that you've helped about 40 different veteran families in the process.
Yep. Many different ways. It's not just paying a bill or just, you know, groceries, Christmas presents.
I hear sometimes
a car.
Sometimes it's as simple as mowing the lawn or helping shovel the snow or maybe just bringing over some cookies and having coffee.
Yep. That's exactly what it is, too. To be an ear to listen.
And Jade, are most of those families where they have a loved one deployed and there's one parent still back at home and they need a little bit of help, but they're afraid to ask?
So we do have that situation. A lot of the people that we help locally are our veterans. We do have some active military that we do help also, but a big portion of ours right now is our veterans. So
how do you find the people that need or want some help? Most veterans are just reluctant to ask.
Yes, they are. That is a very big chore that we try to overcome. We work really closely with the Pine County Veteran Service Officer and then also with Kanabec County. And so anytime someone goes into their office and they hear of a need that they're not able to fill, they reach out to us. We like to say that we fill in the cracks where others can't help, we can. So
I can just see the county veteran service officer saying, we got some help here. It doesn't fit anything. Call those ladies at the Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. See what they can do.
And they do, too. They have us on speed dial. So
turbo email.
Right.
Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, as we've been talking about the Pine River Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. And we have two ladies in the office, Jada in the office, in the studio. Jada, you got me all confused now. You're getting me all excited. Jada Osterdijk and Wendy Lindahl, who are very instrumental in the Pine City. Why do I want to say Pine River? It's Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. I drive by it every month on my way up to Cloquet. It's just, you know, part way up there, and it's Pine City. Great part of the state. And you two are very active in the Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. What are your best successes? You've been at this for a few years now. What are you most proud of, Jada?
Being able to help everybody that we have. When we first started, you know, we had a couple dollars in the bank account and we had to beg for help. And now when a veteran or an active military member comes to us and they need help, we're like, sure, what can we do for you? What do you need? So just being able to come that far is pretty amazing for us. So
And Wendy, is that pretty rewarding to be part of that effort to help those veterans and their families?
Always. Every time you have somebody reach out and you know that you can say, yes, here you go, it's kind of one of those goosebumps, tearjerker moments.
So what would you say to the listeners up in Pine City if they're thinking about getting involved in the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program?
It's worth it. If you're patriotic and you want to give back, it's worth it, 100%. It's such a wonderful, uplifting feeling to be able to just help people and know that they need it and they appreciate it and they fought for you to have everything you have, so why not give back to them?
And if they come join you and help you with these things, then how are they gonna deal with your partner in crime here, Jada?
Well, I don't know.
Is it a lot of fun?
It is. We do have a ton of fun. Sometimes tension is high, but that's everyday life. We have a lot of laughs and giggles, and we keep our tensions private. So
right.
If you get it, if you receive it, you definitely earned it.
Very good. Jada, we just got a few minutes left. I want to come to your annual fundraising event, the 4th annual bike run. What is that?
So that is our main, I can't even say main, it is our only fundraiser that we have every year. And it's motorcycle run, not a pedal bike. And it's coming up July 29th. So just a little over a month here.
How many motor scooters come out for this thing?
Well, the very first year we had it, it was cold, it was rainy. We had 45-ish, and last year we had 117. And I'm really hoping we can get a minimum of 125 bikes this year.
And I'm assuming there's some Harleys and things in there, too, not just motor scooters.
Oh, yes, yes.
And where do they go? How long is the run? What's the path?
So, well, I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay.
It's my ride captain would shoot me if I gave out the exact route, but it's about a 150-mile ride. They're still kind of working out the final kinks of the exact route, just with all the flooding and stuff that we had. Some of the roads are not as good as what they had hoped. And registration starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Kickstands are up at 11. And we leave from Ryder's Saloon in Henriette there, and we go around mainly Pine County because we want to keep it in the area that we serve. And then we make our way back to Ryder's, and that's kind of about where we sit with that.
So July 29th, you're trying to get at least 125 motorcycles, 200 people, and raise $15,000 this year.
Yes, yes.
Where do our listeners go to sign up?
So they can check out our Facebook page, Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. They can email us at pinecitybyr@gmail.com. And they can go onto our website also and look us up there for any volunteer opportunities to get more details about the bike run that we've got coming up. We would love more donations. We would love volunteers. And we would love, love, love some more motorcycles to show up.
You probably use some sponsors. Is there going to be a little food fest afterwards or something going on?
Oh, definitely. We will have a pulled pork. Once we get back, we'll have some live music going on. We've got the silent auction, the raffle. So it's a good time. It's a good after party once we get back.
And the name of the establishment that you mentioned where you start and end?
Ryder's Saloon in Henriette.
Ryder's Saloon in Henriette. I've never been there, but they can handle all those motorcycles and all those people.
Oh, yes, they can. They love it when we come out.
Wendy, what do you think of this ride?
Oh, it's my favorite time of the year. My husband's actually the ride captain, so
okay.
I get both ends of the spectrum when it comes to the ride, the setting up the raffles, the keeping her in order.
Good luck with that.
And then the ride aspect of keeping him tied down and in order and making all the contacts for our stops and
keeping everybody safe.
Yeah.
So this is a big annual event for you too.
It is, and it's a year long thing. Last year Sunday we were on our steps, already talking about this year. So,
Jada, we just got a few seconds left. What are you going to do with all the money you're raising?
We are going to continue to help even more veterans and active military.
Very good. And you've mentioned Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. What's the if they want to contact you? Where do they go?
They can go on to Facebook, Pine City Beyond the Yellow Ribbon.
Very good. Ladies, I hope you have the best ride ever, and I want to thank you both for taking the time to come join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was Jada Osterdijk and Wendy Lindahl on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Happy to be back on, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Chief, I got to ask you a loaded question. When you took over this top spot as senior enlisted advisor for the Minnesota National Guard, did you realize how much traveling would be involved?
Not at all. I had an idea, but it's been absolutely amazing to travel where I've been able to travel.
Frequent flyer and frequent driver, because there's Army units scattered all over the state of Minnesota, isn't there?
You know it. That's why I got this new car that I'm able to put a lot of miles on, and it's comfortable. So, because I get a lot of windshield time as well.
And one of the places I think probably is most fun for you to go is one of the best training facilities in the United States, Camp Ripley Training Center.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. We've committed to heading up to Camp Ripley as much as we can this summer to see our folks when they're up there doing their AT. It's a really good opportunity that we can kind of spend some time on duty and a little bit off duty time with them as well. Recently we were just up there and we were with the med desk, and fun enough, we did the Army Combat Fitness Test with the med desk. I actually participated in the Army Combat Fitness Test. We don't need to talk about my score, Tom, but we just know that I did all the events.
Well, the command chief needs to lead the way, so I'm glad you were up there at annual training. Isn't that what AT stands for?
Yep, annual training. We also saw the 151, one of the 151, and then we're heading back up. I did see also the 133rd CE squadron was up there actually going through the chem chamber. So that was fun. I got to show my Army counterpart, Butch Whitehead, that the air does actually do some wartime tasking. So it was a good time.
You may have to show him again, Chief. I know that there's been a lot of activity over in Europe. Can you tell us just a little highlight of what's going on?
Well, you know, we had the Red Bulls. About 750 Red Bulls were involved with Defender 23, and the exercise that they took part in was immediate response. So they were spread over North Macedonia and Croatia, and Tag and I were lucky enough to be able to go over there and visit with them all and see them in their training. And as I was walking through the fields in North Macedonia, I just reminded myself that I joined the right service. I'm telling you, these soldiers were in their little tents, on their little cot, and that was it. The little personal tent and a cot, nothing else. I was like, whew, the Air Guard couldn't do that.
So that was the Army side of the exercise in Europe.
Yeah, that was Army side. Then on the air side, both air wings were able to participate in Air Defender, and it was the 148th sent three jets and about 30 people, and the 133rd sent one tail over there with two crews and about the same. So each wing sent about 30 folks and some tails over there, and boy, what great press. If you look at the director of the Air National Guard, he's got a lot on his Facebook page of the 148th, and, you know, we're doing all this, so we can get the notice of the C-130s. We want to get those C-130Js coming to Minnesota. So it was really good that they were all able to go over there and be participants of it. There was over 42 different air wings that were on the ground in Europe from the Air National Guard and the Air Force. So it was amazing.
Sounds like a pretty big show of force, both on the air side and the Army side all at the same time.
Yeah, it was. It's been a really busy beginning summer, and I'm sure it's just going to keep getting more busy as the summer goes on.
Well, Chief, we only got about a minute left. I understand you had about 120 airmen on some type of a leadership event. Was that at Camp Ripley?
Yep. So Camp Ripley, of course, the premier training center of the United States, hosted 120 airmen for the Trifecta Leadership Symposium we do every other year. So it's company grade officers, senior master sergeants, and NCOs between the grades of E5 and E6. And they come up to Camp Ripley, and we just give them a little bit of development, some team building. We had a big barbecue. The 148th Chiefs Council did a barbecue. Tag visited. General Blomquist visited. It was a really good, good training environment. It was good to get everybody together.
Sounds like a really busy summer for the command chief.
It is. But, hey, I'm doing a lot of internal state travel, and that's my goal. I want to see the troops in the state, so...
Very good, ma'am. We're just about out of time. We'd like to thank you for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
That was the senior enlisted advisor of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Molly Matsumoto, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Jada Osterdijk, and Wendy Lindahl from the Pine City Yellow Ribbon, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson from the Minnesota National Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk to the senior leader of Camp Ripley Training Center and meet the Deputy Commissioner of Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.